The American Psychiatric Association, APA, representing over 36,000 psychiatrists, had several suggestions for the FDA's draft guidance for the proposed ECT device reclassification in 2016. Some of their suggestions include expanding who gets ECT under this change to include children and adolescents, people with catatonia, mania, schizophrenia, and schizoaffective disorders. The APA asked for softening or removing risk warnings. The following excerpt is from their letter. Quote, the FDA proposes a warning that when used as intended, this device provides short-term relief of symptoms. The long-term safety and effectiveness of ECT treatment has not been demonstrated. The APA suggests that this warning not be included in the device labeling. End quote. And, finally, the APA advocated against mandatory neuropsychological testing. Rather than find ways to meet the FDA's new testing requirement, they instead proposed a less rigorous screening method. From the APA's letter to the FDA, quote, screening assessments covering orientation, attention, and memory in all patients prior to and during ECT would permit identification of those individuals who may require more detailed testing. Asking patients and family members about subjective concerns about cognition during the ECT course can also identify individuals who may require more detailed testing or adjustments in ECT treatment parameters. We recommend a staged approach to cognitive testing similar to what is used in other disorders in healthcare. Screening assessments covering orientation, attention, and memory in all patients prior to and during ECT would permit identification of those individuals who may require more detailed testing. End quote. The APA didn't specify a particular test in their letter, so I researched the topic. I came across a test that resembled their suggested methods called the Electroconvulsive Cognitive Assessment, ECCA. From a ScienceDirect article. In response to the above limitations of available cognitive screening instruments for ECT in clinical practice, researchers at Emory University developed a new cognitive screening tool specific to ECT in collaboration with colleagues from the National Network of Depression Centers, NNDC. End quote. A description of the ECCA from the website fuquacenter.org's ECA page. The Electroconvulsive Cognitive Assessment, ECCA, is a novel contribution to the literature regarding ECT and cognitive function. It provides ECT psychiatrists and other clinicians with a brief, easy-to-administer, bedside cognitive measure to identify ECT-related cognitive impairments early in the treatment course to adjust the ECT treatment plan. End quote. People with ties to the ECT industry, including Richard D. Weiner, are involved with this test. From the 1996 Washington Post article, Shock Therapy, It's Back. Duke University's Richard D. Weiner, 51, chairman of the APA Task Force on ECT, appears on a MECTA videotape. Weiner said he served as a consultant to the company about 10 years ago, but has not received any money directly for his services. Instead, MECTA deposited between $3,000 and $5,000 in a university account that Weiner controls, which, according to a Duke spokesman, is earmarked for research support and other educational functions, end quote. In a paper evaluating the efficacy of the ECCA test, there are some noteworthy conflicts of interest among its researchers. Quote, Richard D. Weiner, co-inventor on a software patent licensed to MECTA Corp., a manufacturer of ECT devices. He does not personally receive royalties. The statement, he does not personally receive royalties, is addressed by Linda Andre in her book, Doctors of Deception, What They Don't Want You to Know About Shock Treatment, by Linda Andre. Because the patent had been developed with NIM grant money, which is paid to an institution rather than an individual, Weiner could not legally hold the patent in his own name. It was licensed to Duke University. In the 2001 APA ECT Task Force report, Weiner belatedly disclosed this patent as well as his work for Somatics, which were not disclosed in the 1996 Washington Post article, but said he did not receive royalties or personal payments, making it appear as if he had made a selfless choice not to hold the patent in his name. In fact, he did not have that choice. Now Duke makes money every time one of the new machines is sold. At the same time, Weiner's grant is paid directly to the university, as is all federal grant money, end quote. Patient reports give us a glimpse of the ongoing consequences of neuropsychological testing not being mandatory. Many injured by ECT have to fight for access to any sort of testing or support for disabling injuries after ECT. The APA says this new testing method will allow them to screen who needs to be referred for more in-depth assessment, but with no standards in place, doctors continue to do whatever they want. The following excerpts are a sample of adverse reports to the FDA from people who experienced disabling side effects their doctors ignored or denied existed. Adverse report number 1. I had 9 treatments done after being evaluated and educated about the process and was told that I would only have mild temporary memory loss. Which couldn't be further from the truth. In 2016, immediately after my last treatment, I started telling my provider about the severe headaches and vision loss, but he ignored my issue. The issues continued to come and get worse and worse. I have a headache 24/7, vision issues, nausea/vomiting, severely painful muscles and joints, lost my memory that still has not returned, completely forgot how to do my job, anger, agitation. Increased suicidal thoughts, my depression has never improved whatsoever, dizziness, confusion, not able to focus or remember what I'm supposed to do day to day. My psychiatrist continues to deny that my treatments had anything to do with any of these other issues. I've also found out information about ECTs that was never told to me. Adverse report number 2. I endured 9 rounds of electroconvulsive therapy from 2010 to 2011. I had over a year of intense recovery and still have difficulty. I reported problems to my doctor many times, no one believed that ECT could have caused it. Adverse report number 3. ECTs caused permanent seizures, bifrontal brain atrophy. Shrinking of gray and white matter in brain, permanent. Cognitive, physical, behavioral issues. Was and now can't remember how to spell. The doctors kept telling my parents my memory and seizures and talk incomplete sentences would all be fine a few months after we stopped ECTs, but they kept doing them even after I have positive signs of brain damage shown in 2 EEGs and frontal atrophy in frontal lobes. Adverse report number 4. I am a shell of who I was before. All of my cognitive/executive functioning has been negatively affected. I cannot control my emotion. I get flustered easily, and it is humiliating. My memory is all messed up. Events as much as 2 to 3 years before are gone. I can still remember minute details of insignificant things, but may forget a conversation I just had recently with someone. I get confused, always forget where I put things, cannot get things organized, and live with piles of stuff all over my house. No doctors believe me that ECT caused this, so none have done any tests. End quote. You can find more adverse reports like these and a guide on how to file your own report with the FDA in the show notes. Final thoughts. I have been a dedicated ECT researcher since 2011. To this day, I continue to see online posts and comments from people struggling to get recognition and treatment for their injuries after ECT. They are devastated when their doctors don't believe them. Many were not warned of these outcomes. Doctors continue to downplay ECT's risks and dismiss reports of disabling injuries, stonewalling their patients' efforts to get validation and support needed to rebuild their lives. To summarize, over 36,000 psychiatrists represented by the APA advocated against disclaimers that would better warn patients of ECT's risks and ensure access to desperately needed testing. Despite the APA's proposed alternative screening method, patient reports like those I shared earlier continue to be made, suggesting nothing has changed. Without testing mandates, those disabled by ECT in the past, present, and future will continue to struggle for recognition and treatment for their injuries. The scale of devastation is staggering when you consider that an estimated 2 million people undergo ECT globally every year. If you want to help change this, please sign the Audit ECT petition, linked in the show notes. Thank you for listening to this episode. Have you had ECT after 2019? Did your doctor use the electroconvulsive cognitive assessment on you to decide if you needed more in-depth testing? Or if you had ECT before 2019, could you get any testing? I look forward to reading your comments.
Thank you for tuning in to the Life After ECT podcast.